All right, let's jump right into this deep dive. It's all about financing your international education adventure.
Ooh, that's a big one.
It is.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of listeners out there are probably like, okay, yes, yeah, study abroad, super exciting, new cultures,
Right.
amazing career opportunities. But then it's like, whoa, hold on. How much is this actually going to cost?
That's the big question, isn't it?
It is. And we're going to unpack that today. You hear these stories about international students contributing billions more in tuition fees than their domestic counterparts. Billions with a B.
It's a fascinating topic for sure.
It is. So we're going to break it down for you, giving all the info you need.
Awesome.
So first things first, let's talk about tuition, because that's often the biggest shocker, right? You think, okay, maybe it's a little bit more expensive,
Yeah.
but we're talking about potentially two or three times higher in places like the US,
Yeah.
Canada. So why? Why is that?
Well, you have to think about it from the university's perspective, right? International students bring diversity, new perspectives, but they also don't receive the same government subsidies that domestic students do.
Oh, I see.
So essentially, they have to make up the difference somewhere, and that often falls on the international student
Yeah.
in the form of higher tuition.
Okay. So that makes sense. But it's not just tuition, right?
No, not at all.
What other costs should students be prepared for? Give us the rundown.
Well, think about those everyday living expenses, your rent, utilities, food, transportation, all that stuff. And it's not just about those costs existing, it's about them potentially being higher in a new city, maybe in a more expensive city even. Plus, you've got a whole different currency to navigate. To give you an idea, rent in London can easily be three times higher than somewhere like, say, Berlin.
Location, location, location.
Exactly.
All right, so speaking of navigating different currencies, let's talk about exchange rates for a second.
Okay.
How big of a deal is that? Is that something students really need to wrap their heads around?
Absolutely. Imagine trying to budget for your semester. You think, okay, I've got this much. But then the value of your money is constantly shifting against the local currency. It's almost like trying to hit a moving target with your finances, you know?
Budgeting's hard enough as it is.
Right.
So let's move on to the good stuff, to the financial lifeline. Let's talk about scholarships and
All
grants.
right.
I think most people would say that's the dream, right? Get a
A
scholarship.
holy grail.
Yeah, like you won the lottery. But are those actually realistic for international students? Is that something that like most people can get?
It's tougher, much more competitive. Think of it as a really exclusive club with a long waiting list.
Tough bouncer at the door.
Pretty much. You really have to stand out.
So if those scholarships are like winning the lottery, what are some of their options for international students? What are some of the paths people are actually taking?
Well, one option is part-time work, although that often comes with its own restrictions.
The visa stuff, right?
Exactly. A lot of countries limit the number of hours international students can work. So it can be hard to rely on that as your main source of funding.
Okay, so given those limitations, then how are people doing it? Are there any sort of trends or anything we see across the board?
Well, family support is a big factor. Many students rely on their families to help them cover some or all of their expenses, but that's not always an option for everyone, of course.
Not every family has the resources, especially if there are any unexpected financial emergencies.
Exactly.
So then what can those students do to make this happen?
Well, that's where student loans come into play. They can be a way to cover both tuition and those living expenses we talked about. And that allows students to, actually focus on their studies instead of constantly stressing about money. It takes a lot of pressure off.
That peace of mind has got to be priceless.
Absolutely.
But I mean, obviously, student loans, that's a big decision, right?
It is. It is.
It's not just about getting the money, it's about understanding what comes along with it.
Right. And we need to be upfront about the fact that student loans aren't free money.
Of course.
They come with long-term repayment obligations. Interest can really accumulate over time.
Yeah.
And for international students, there's this added layer of complexity, currency exchange risks.
Oh, right.
Imagine you graduate, you start your career, but you're earning in a different currency than what your loan is in. Those fluctuations, they can really impact your repayment plan.
It's almost like gambling with your finances, isn't it?
It can feel that way, definitely.
So before we get too deep into that whole repayment situation, because that's a whole other thing,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
Let's break down the types of loans that are out there.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of options, right?
There are. It can be overwhelming.
Yeah, it's like a jungle out there. So where should students even start?
Well, I think a good starting point is private loans, ones that are specifically designed for international students.
Okay.
These often require what's called a co-signer, mm-hmm. someone who lives in the host country who can basically vouch for you.
Oh, okay. So like a financial guardian angel almost.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Lenders want to see that there's some security behind the loan.
Mm-hmm.
And if a student can't find a co-signer,
yeah.
then they really need to show that they're financially responsible.
Okay.
Have a solid plan for future earnings.
So they're looking for those students who are not only academically strong, but also have a bright financial future ahead of them.
Exactly. And then there are government or institutional loans.
Oh, right, right.
Some countries have programs specifically designed to support international students.
Okay.
And these can sometimes offer more favorable terms, like lower interest rates.
Oh, that's great. So for anyone listening who's thinking, okay, maybe loans are the way to go, what's the most important thing to keep in mind?
Shop around. Compare loan terms from different lenders.
Right.
Don't just jump on the first offer you see.
Right, right.
Take your time. Look at the interest rates.
Yeah.
Because even a small difference can really add up over time.
That's true. It's kind of like when you're, shopping for anything, right?
Exactly.
You compare prices, you compare features. You don't just buy the first thing you see.
Right. And don't forget to research those country-specific government loan programs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because those can be a game changer in terms of affordability.
Okay, good point. Now, before we get too carried away with loan options, I think it's really important to talk about responsible borrowing. Just managing your finances in general.
Absolutely.
Because I think that sometimes gets lost in the excitement of, okay, I need to get the money.
Right, right.
I need to figure out how to fund this. But then it's like, wait a minute, do I actually know how to manage this?
Exactly. It's crucial to have a plan. And that starts with creating a detailed budget before you even think about taking out loans.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what you're dealing with.
It's like you're mapping out your financial route.
Mm-hmm.
Before you even start your trip, you need to know, like, okay, how much gas do I have?
Yeah.
Where are the rest stops? Do I have enough to cover the tolls? All that stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. So realistically estimate all your costs, tuition, living expenses, and don't forget those, like, unexpected travel costs.
Right. Those always pop up.
Always. And then maximizing free financial aid, I imagine that's got to be super important.
Absolutely. Apply for every scholarship you're eligible for, even if they seem small.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't underestimate student discounts either.
Oh, right.
Tons of businesses offer them. Restaurants, transportation, you name it.
It's all about being resourceful, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so once you've got a handle on those needs, you've explored those free funding options, then what? What's the next step in approaching those loans responsibly?
You really need to understand the loan terms, interest rates, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to ask questions. Like, you know, loan documents can be filled with jargon.
Oh, yeah.
It's confusing. So just ask for clarification. Make sure you understand those grace periods, those repayment schedules.
So it's almost like you're a financial detective, you know, decoding all these terms.
Exactly.
And are there any, like, resources, tools, anything that students can use to kind of help them navigate all this stuff?
Tons of resources. Budgeting apps, online courses. Your university probably even has a financial aid office.
Oh, right.
They can offer personalized guidance.
Yeah.
Connect you with other resources.
It's like you've got a whole team of financial coaches.
Exactly.
Cheering you on.
You got it. Building financial literacy is an investment in itself.
That's true. And remember, you're not alone in this.
Definitely not.
A lot of students face these challenges, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered a lot in this first part of our deep dive.
We have.
Understanding the costs, exploring funding options, and really just being a responsible borrower.
Absolutely.
But our journey's not over yet.
No, we've got more to come.
Yeah.
In our next segment, we're going to talk about managing your finances while actually living and studying abroad.
Ooh, yes. So stay tuned for that. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of those everyday money decisions.
It's going to be good.
All right. See you in part two.
Welcome back to our deep dive all about financing your international education.
Right.
Last time we talked about the costs, you know, explored different funding options.
Right.
And I think, you know, we really stressed being a responsible borrower. But now, let's get down to brass tacks here.
Okay.
How do you manage your money while you're actually living and studying abroad?
Yeah, that's the real test, isn't it?
It is. It's one thing to, like, plan a budget.
Right.
Sit down, make a spreadsheet, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're there, and there's this whole new environment.
A whole new world.
Different currency.
Yeah.
How do you actually stick to it? Right. Well, first of all, you have to embrace that budgeting mindset we talked about.
Yeah.
It's not just a one-time thing.
Right.
It's something you got to live by while you're there.
Yeah. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of everything.
Oh, yeah.
End up with a serious case of FOMO spending.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The fear of missing out is real.
It is. So how do you avoid that?
I think tracking your expenses is key.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you use an app, a spreadsheet,
yeah,
even just a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
The point is to actually see where your money's going.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's those little things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like those daily coffee runs.
Exactly. Or those, oh, I just need to buy this moments.
Right, right. It all adds up.
It does.
Yeah.
But when you track it, then you can start to identify those areas
mm-hmm.
where maybe you can cut back.
Yeah, without feeling like you're missing out on stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe those daily lattes
yeah.
become a twice a week treat.
Okay, so small adjustments.
Exactly.
Big difference.
Yeah.
All right, so what are some other practical ways to like save money on those everyday expenses?
Cooking at home.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
It is, but it works.
It does.
Instead of eating out all the time.
Yeah.
Embrace those local grocery stores. Try some new recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even do some potluck dinners.
Oh, that's fun.
Right. You get to connect with other international students.
Yeah.
Share some cultural dishes.
It's like a little culinary adventure.
It is.
Right in your own kitchen.
Exactly.
Okay. So if you do eat out.
Yeah.
Be strategic.
Right. Look for places with student discounts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have affordable lunch specials.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of cities also have amazing street food scenes.
Oh, that's true.
That are both delicious and budget friendly.
Yeah, I've heard stories about some cities where like you can get incredible food.
Right.
For like a fraction of the cost of a restaurant.
Exactly.
Okay, what about transportation? Because that can get pricey in a new city, right?
It can.
Yeah.
But before you jump into those taxis
yeah.
or all the ride sharing apps, really explore those public transportation options.
Okay.
A lot of cities have great bus, tram,
yeah.
metro systems.
Right.
That are way more affordable.
And walking and biking.
Oh, the best.
Yeah.
Free exercise.
Yeah.
You get to see the city.
It's like your own personal tour.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're talking about being resourceful here. Are there any other, like, clever hacks students can use to stretch their budget?
Don't be afraid to negotiate.
Oh, right.
It might not be common in every culture.
Yeah.
But in some countries, it's totally normal.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially at local markets or when you're buying souvenirs and stuff.
Oh, okay. So it's like you're immersing yourself in the local customs and saving money.
Exactly. And don't forget those student discounts.
Oh, yeah.
Museums, transportation passes, even some clothing stores offer them.
It's a secret weapon.
It is.
Okay. And speaking of free stuff,
oh,
take advantage of all those activities and events that cities offer.
Absolutely. So many cities have free concerts.
Yeah.
Festivals, walking tours,
mm-hmm.
even movie screenings in the park sometimes.
Yeah, especially in the summer.
Right. You can have a great time.
Yeah.
Without spending a dime.
It's like your own personalized city adventure.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about budgeting, saving,
mm-hmm.
but what about those unexpected expenses? Because those always happen, right?
They do. And that's why you need an emergency fund.
Oh.
To have that cushion.
Right.
For those just-in-case moments.
Yeah, yeah. Medical expenses.
Mm.
Lose your passport.
Exactly. A sudden flight home. You never know.
It's like your financial safety net.
It is. It's there to catch you when things go wrong.
So how much should people aim for in that emergency fund?
I would say at least a few hundred dollars.
Okay.
To start. Ideally, you want enough to cover maybe a month of living expenses.
Okay. That can seem like a lot, though.
It can.
Yeah.
But you don't have to build overnight.
Right. Right. Little by little.
Exactly. Set aside a little each week.
Yeah.
Maybe get a part-time job if you can.
Oh, yeah.
That can help you build that fund.
And gain some work experience at the same time.
Exactly. And it can help you feel more independent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so any other financial wisdom to impart to our soon-to-be adventurers?
Be aware of scams.
Oh, yeah.
There are people out there who specifically target international students.
Right, because they know you might not be familiar with all the local laws.
Exactly. They try to take advantage. So be wary of anyone who asks for your personal financial information, especially over the phone or through random emails.
Okay.
And if something sounds too good to be true,
yeah,
it probably is.
It probably is. All right. So we've covered a lot of practical stuff here.
We have.
But what about the emotional side of things?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dealing with money in a foreign currency,
mm-hmm.
you're adjusting to this new culture
right.
on top of your studies. It can be a lot to handle, right?
It can be overwhelming.
Yeah. So any advice for students who are feeling that way?
Don't be afraid to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your family.
Yeah.
Your friends.
Yeah.
Connect with other international students.
Right.
They're going through the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And definitely check out your university's international student office.
Oh, good point.
They have resources to help.
Yeah. It's like building your own support network.
It is. It is.
You've got your cheerleaders.
Exactly. You're not alone in this.
You're not alone. All right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this part too.
We have.
Budgeting tips, saving strategies,
mm-hmm.
even those potential scams out there.
Right.
But the journey continues.
It does. Next time, we're going to tackle that big one.
Ooh, yeah.
Life after graduation. Loan repayment.
Dun, dun, dun. That's coming up in part 3, so stay tuned. And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into financing your international education adventure.
That's right.
So we've talked about the costs, the funding, you know, all the budgeting,
mm-hmm.
even how to handle the emotional side of managing your money in a new place. But now it's time to fast forward a bit
okay.
to life after graduation, when the confetti settles and those student loans come knocking.
Yeah. That's the part a lot of students try not to think about.
Right. Like, oh, I'll deal with that later.
Exactly.
Hmm.
But trust me, it's way better to face it head on.
So true. It's kind of like, I don't know, like when you come back from an amazing trip, you've got all these incredible memories, but then you have to unpack.
Right. You got to deal with the suitcases.
Exactly. And those loans, that's part of the unpacking process. So where do we even begin with all of this?
Well, one of the first things to consider is your work situation after you graduate.
Okay.
Where do you see yourself working?
Mm-hmm.
Are you staying in your host country? Going back home?
Yeah, that's a big one.
It is. Because it can really impact how you approach repayment.
So if you're thinking about staying in that host country, you're saying it's important to research those visa options that allow for post-graduation work.
Absolutely. It just makes things a lot smoother.
Okay.
Because then you're working, you're earning in the same currency as your loan.
Right. So you don't have to deal with all those crazy exchange rate fluctuations.
Exactly.
But what about those who are planning to go back home after graduation?
Mm, yeah.
How do they factor those exchange rates in?
That's where it can get tricky. Imagine you get a great job back home. You're excited, but your loan is in, say, U.S. dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say the dollar is strong compared to your home currency. Suddenly, those monthly payments become a much bigger chunk of your salary.
Oh, yeah. It's like those souvenirs you bought that seemed like a good deal at the time. But yeah. Then you get home and you're like, wait a minute.
I spent how much?
Exactly.
Mm.
Okay, so what can students do to kind of prepare for that or at least minimize the impact?
Start researching early.
Yeah.
Look into refinancing or loan consolidation. Some lenders have programs specifically for international students who are returning to their home countries.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And those can sometimes offer lower interest rates or more favorable repayment terms.
So it's like finding those hidden travel discounts.
Exactly.
Got to do your research. Okay. What about loan forgiveness programs? Is that something that's even on the table for international students?
It depends. The eligibility criteria can be all over the place.
Oh.
It really varies by country, by lender.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even your field of study plays a role.
So again, it's all about doing that research, figuring out what's out there. Wow, this whole repayment landscape, it's like a whole other world to navigate.
It can be, yeah.
What resources can students tap into to make sense of it all?
Well, your university is a great starting point.
Okay.
A lot of times they're career services or the international student office.
Mm-hmm.
They can connect you with, you know, financial advisors, organizations that specialize in student loan repayment.
It's like having a guide to lead you through it all. Okay. So let's say someone's listening and they're starting to feel that, you know, that repayment anxiety creeping in.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell them?
I'd say the most important thing is communication.
Okay.
If you're worried about being able to repay, don't just ignore those letters.
Yeah. No burying your head in the sand.
Exactly. Talk to your loan servicer.
Mm-hmm.
Explain your situation.
Okay.
You know, see what options are available.
So maybe there's like deferment, income-driven repayment plans.
Right.
Mm.
There might be something they could do to help.
So be proactive. Communicate. Got it. Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
From those initial cost calculations to actually planning for repayment after graduation.
Full circle.
Full circle. And I think the biggest takeaway here is keep researching. Ask questions. Mm. Don't be afraid to reach out for help.
Exactly. Yeah. Your international education, it's an investment. Mm-hmm. And with careful planning, with some strategic decisions, mm-hmm. it could be one of the most rewarding investments you'll ever make.
I love that. So for all our listeners out there about to embark on this adventure, embrace the experience.
Yes.
But also remember all those practical tips we've shared mm-hmm. to help you make those smart financial decisions.
Absolutely.
We've given you the tools. Now it's time to create your own adventure.
That's right.
And as you're soaring toward your dreams, keep this question in mind. How can you leverage your international education? Mm-hmm. Not just to reach your career goals, but also to manage those loan repayments.
It's all connected, right?
It is. It's all connected. All right. Well, we're cheering you on every step of the way.
Absolutely.
Happy exploring. And until next time,
keep diving deep.
Keep diving deep.